This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 149 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I'm Andy White, and I am with
Kelvin Newman.
And it's another questions and answers.
Yeah!
So let's get straight to it.
I have in my hand several
sheets of paper, one of which is extremely long, but we'll come to that at the end. First question,
I think there's three.
First question, from Hiro Hayakawa. Hope I've pronounced your name correctly there. Hello, Kelvin. They're always addressed to you, aren't they? Do they like me?
It's because they send them to my email address.
Oh, okay.
Well, some say to Andy. I've got one here that says, hello, Andy and Kelvin.
To Andrew.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry, let's cast. Yes. Hello, Kelvin. Firstly, thank you. Thank you, Andy, very much for the great show on the podcast. I always enjoy it from down under, Australia. I am in the domain name business, and I have a question about the impact of new GTLD, is that top-level domain?
Yeah, new domain names.
Yes.
They're kind of geographic
top-level. Oh, okay. Yes, I'm wondering about the impact that the new top-level domains would have in SEO in the future. Currently, more than 1,000 of new domain names are expected to be available in the future with an application acceptance... Sorry, let me rephrase that. In the future, with an application acceptance starts from January the 12th, 2012 at ICANN. As it takes time for evaluation and provisioning, maybe most of them would be available sometime around 2013. Then my question is, number one, do you think the new domain names would be ranked higher in the search results in the future, e.g. abcbank.com versus abc.bank? Optimizing the string, in brackets, equals dropping the irrelevant character of com, brackets, should be ranked higher in my view. What do you think? And number two, how long do you think it would take for new domains to be properly recognized and ranked by search engines? With many domains coming one after the other, I'm wondering how search engines would cope with it. That's an interesting thought. Again, thanks for your show. I'm looking forward to hearing from you soon on a podcast. Cheers, Hiro.
Yeah, so it's an interesting question. So for those who might not be familiar with the kind of background or context to the question there, basically over the next 18 months to 2 years, a series of new domain names are being made available. Now, generally speaking, they're being used for longer extensions. So like Hiro gave there the example, abc.bank, so .bank being an extension. Or actually, a lot of them being more like brand names. So you might have .Pepsi or .Coke or .Apple.
Oh, wow.
So you might have, and you can apply for these. They cost, I forget the figure, but a ridiculously high amount of money to spend on, you know, getting one of these set up to put an application through before you bear in mind the amount of time that goes into it. But there are quite a lot of them going through. So Hiro's question is, well, is that going to be a good ranking factor? Well, generally speaking, I don't think domains are always kind of a ranking factor in the truest sense, but there's certainly a tendency for the less traditional domain names to find it harder to rank in the search engines. So the .biz's, the .infos, the .tvs, the .fms and the like. But I can also see the argument that with these new ones that Google... One of the challenges Google are dealing with at the moment is how to determine what is a brand. Right, so who is a company that people have heard of and trust and know about? Now, one of the ways they can do it that is look at signals like, does it have lots of links with the like branded anchor text. So does Pepsi have lots of links using the word Pepsi rather than cola drink? Yeah, so they can look at that. Also, they can look at issues like, well, are lots of people searching for the branded term? So if it is a kind of, you know, there is a Dell, lots of people search for the word Dell, so therefore they can be confident that Dell is a bigger brand than another computer manufacturer who you've never heard of and nobody searches for them. That's one way they can do that. I think potentially there's a potential that these could be seen as a type of brand signal as well, because there's only, you're not going to find many small spammers or, you know, small local businesses or affiliate businesses or like smaller businesses with the money or resource to kind of get one of these domain name extensions. So therefore potentially it could be seen as a you know, a signal that it's a brand there. Now that's speculation. I don't know whether that'd be the case. And traditionally new extensions haven't done as well. So it's all still the .coms, the .nets, the .orgs, the .uk's, .au's that have done very, very well. So if I were working internally at a large organisation that had the kind of money to invest to apply for one of these, would I do it? I'd probably say no, because I think that the money you spend on that could be spent on things that would almost certainly have a quicker, more dramatic impact than buying .pepsi would. But if you have done it, will Google trust them? I think possibly. It would make sense to me that they would, because there aren't, although there's thousands of these, they're presumably the 1,000 biggest companies or the 1,000 biggest organisations in the world, so that should hopefully be a good indicator to them. How will Google determine which ones to trust and which ones not? I think you just have to realise that Google don't look at the domain necessarily to determine whether a site's good or not. It just tends to be that more trusted websites tend to be on .ac.uk's or .edu's, rather than it is the .edu that makes them trusted. It's kind of there's a correlation between the two, but not necessarily a causal relation between the two. So it's trusted websites tend to be on .edu's. That doesn't make the .edu make them trusted, if that kind of connection makes sense.
Interesting idea. These new top level, are they available now, Kelvin?
That's what they're talking about there. So I think it's 2012.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it's coming up, isn't it?
That's the date that they would be launched. So part of me goes, I understand why they're doing it, but part of me goes, it's just going to make the experience of being online a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
You know, you know that in most cases you put brandname.com or brandname.co. Whatever your country is, and you can be confident that you'll get to that website. Now, do I go to pepsi.com or do I go to drink.pepsi?
Well, they'll have redirects, won't they? Yeah. I mean, to me, as a sort of my sort of logical data-driven mind, it disturbs me that they're rebundling the top-level domains in this way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we could speculate for literally minutes on that, literally seconds. Right, I have in my hand now an emotionally charged email. I hope I get your name. Is it Ain or Anne? A-I-N-E.
I don't know.
Ain Dempsey. I do. Please forgive me, Ain.
Yes,
if I've got your name wrong.
Yes.
But the subject is Google Maps. WTF.
A common acronym, yes.
Oh my God, splat, splat, that's an exclamation mark, says, he says, she says, I think it's a lady.
It's definitely a lady.
Google Maps is driving me crazy, in uppercase, splat, splat. I love your show, by the way, with several O's, much better than the US. C-R-A-P. Okay, let's move on. I sound terrible, I'm not really, just Google Maps bringing out the worst in me. Okay, basically, I have just become the new marketing manager for a new boutique hotel in London and have been tasked with sorting out a Google Maps listing. Ah, I'm going to find this interesting because I like Google Maps, which I thought would be pretty simple, but oh no. The absolute worst part is that there are duplicate listings. But the worst thing of all is that the images... is that one of the images is a building site, brackets. As I mentioned, we are a new hotel, brackets. Google clearly took an image when we were under construction. I shouldn't laugh, this is serious. But I've tried to edit and / report it, but the option is greyed out. I don't know what to do. Their help section isn't very helpful, and there is no number to call. Please help, in uppercase. Ayn E. Dempsey.
Yeah, so
what can she do?
Two issues there. One appears to be, the photo appears to be street view, That's appearing. So it's kind
have
of
you
street...
looked at it? Colin?
Yeah, I've not looked at this particular the right. hotel, but I think it's the street view picture that's being triggered, which was presumably they were being constructed during the period of time.
Right.
There's very little you can do about that because the street view image is the street view image. You could potentially kind of report it as being, but I think she's saying the options grayed out, but you know, kind of being offensive or inaccurate or that type of thing. But essentially, that's what the road looked like at that point in time. Now, what would I do to deal with that? Well, I would make sure in your local list, in your Google profile, the one that you control, that you make sure that all of the you've put as many pictures up as you possibly can of good pictures and of good videos there, so there's a greater chance that when your profile is triggered that it'll be one of those pictures that appear. And you know, maybe even make reference to it in the profile that, you know, a newly built hotel, you know, you might have seen the construction site when you looked at the Google Street View image, you know, that type of reference to it as well. So that's all I can say there is if the options there grayed out, it's probably because it's street view and it's probably because you can't really kind of take those down. That's what the street looked like at that point in time. In terms of the duplicate listings, well, how do duplicate listings occur? Well, they occur because at some point, potentially two profiles were set up that had different details. That's one possible outcome for it. And if that is the case, there's two generated ones. Try and claim all of them, right? So try and claim them, go through the process of, is this your business? Yes, it's verified. And they might send you a postcard or send you a text message or give you a phone call to try and claim them. And then you can delete them. You can delete the duplicate ones if that's the case. But the most common reason why they actually appear is because Google is scraping all kinds of directory websites, all kinds of listings websites, all kind of Yellow Pages websites.
Yeah.
And what's happened is they've got two versions of the address. One that might be, you know, the street name where you've shortened it to ST, and the other one where it's street. You know, it's kind of so the way that Google deter, they can't tell. They're not intelligent enough to realize that there's, you know, that these two listings that to us as human beings look identical. Because there's a slight difference in either the phone number or the address or the street name or the business
name.
Even
the comma in the wrong place?
Yeah,
or a full
stop? That type of thing. It can, you know, I think commas and full stops less so, but more in terms of like, to say the business name is, you know, to give you an example, site visibility, and we spell it as one word.
Yeah.
And then there's two listings, one with it as two words, one with it as one word. That's the kind of common type of problem that you would get. Now, if that's the case and there's the two listings there and you've tried to claim them and you can't, and you know, they're, you can't delete the other ones, what I would suggest you can do is trying to work out where that version of the URL has that version of your profile has come from. It must exist somewhere else on the web for Google to have found it. So try and track down those directory listings or Yellow Page listings or, you know, press releases or whatever it is that has that version of your address on, and try and get it changed. So try and find where these citations are, where there's the mentions of this business name, this address, this, you know, slightly different variation on your company name, and try and find them and try and get them changed. So my two steps would be try and verify those accounts so you can control them and you can delete them, and also try and look at where these mentions are, because what you can, I've seen it happen before where we've kind of, there's been two profiles, we've claimed the second one, the duplicate one, deleted it, and then found 3 months later that it's reappeared again. And we're like, well, we claimed that. What happened? And what happened is Google then just re-scraped these other websites.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Again, yeah. Thought it was a new business and added it in again. There's all kinds of issues with Google Local that are terrible at the moment, where there's all kinds of problems like this, like, you know, or dodgy markers that say that you're in this address when everyone knows you're not in that address. Yeah, and you can't change it. And yeah, it's a big issue. You're not the only person suffering from it, Ayn. But they would be the steps that I go through. Try and put up some good pictures if you possibly can to try and override the Street View one, but you're not going to be able to get that taken down. Try and verify any of the duplicate listings if you don't already control them, so you can edit them or delete them. And try and find citations of your website where this duplicate version is being triggered from, and try and do whatever you can do to get those listings changed.
So, you know, when you go onto, because this is a general question, because I'm quite interested in Google Maps. You know, when you go onto a Google Map,
yes.
This is certainly true in the UK, I don't know if it's different in the US, but certainly in the UK, when you go onto Google Maps, you'll see dotted all over the place little sort of grey markers like widgets and co.
Yeah.
How do they get there? Because is it filling in the Google addressing? Because I did that once with my business and it never appeared.
No, I think that, you know, to appear with like a pin drop, that's just by creating your profile. I think it's, if there's enough of these strong citations that they know you to be there, and they can be very confident that that's what you're about.
So Google does it itself by aggregating.
Yeah, that's data, how I understand it. I might be wrong on that front. Yeah. I don't know for definite, but that's always been my understanding, that it tends to be the, you know, it's landmarks, and how do they determine what these landmarks are? Are they marked as, you know, points of interest on SatNav maps? Are they, you know, those types of things? And basically, if you want to do better on Google Local, you've just got to try and get as many citations or mentions of your business, your name, your address, your phone number, and your, not even, it doesn't have to have your website, just your name, your address, and your phone number. Okay. And as many pages of the web as you possibly can, without kind of spamming, do you know what I mean? But it's like more directories is good.
And what about sort of using micro formats with a sort of grid reference or something like that?
It's good to do as well. You can use like vcards and the like there as well. I forget what the kind of the particular, there is kind of the,
I think there is a micro format
I think it is related to vcard, isn't it, which is kind of, you put your geographic regions in there. There's actually a premium podcast video that talks about the micro formats you can do from a local perspective, so if you're interested in that, join the site visibility LinkedIn group. You'll get sent an email with access to all of our old premium videos, and there's a couple of episodes in there that talk about Google Local.
Well, I do hope that helps. I'm going to call you Ms. Dempsey, because I still don't know how to pronounce your first name. I hope that helps. Let us know, keep us posted. Right, we now move on to the final question, which is from David Deering. And David, I'm delighted to say that you have won the award for the longest question ever submitted to site visibility to internet marketing.
Yeah, I think so.
So if you're all sitting very comfortably,
I'm going to lean back.
Let me just clear my throat. Sitting comfortably, Kelvin?
Yep.
Then I shall begin. Right, Kelvin, my name is David Deering, and I live in New Orleans, Louisiana, USA. I've been a subscriber to your podcast for some time now, and while I subscribe to a few different podcasts, yours is by far the best and most informative. I always come away with something afterwards, so thank you for your great work. If you're giving him the fiver for saying that, excellent. Okay. Thank you very much for that, David. Right. I have a question that I'm hoping you could share a little insight with me on. I'm in the process of designing a website that focuses on QR code marketing. I will not only offer the ability to create a QR code, but also offer custom design, code tracking and analytics, and mobile web design. Sounds good. I intend to provide one-to-one coaching and consultation as well. I've been debating with myself on the pricing for the tracking and analytics subscriptions. Most companies that offer this option usually offer three tiers of service: a free subscription with limited options, a subscription in the $25 range per month with a few more options, and a premier tier subscription option around $85 to $100 a month. Most offer Most also offer a 30-day free trial. So this is the freemium model, but yes. Okay. The use of QR codes in the US is rather new and in its infancy. Many businesses have never ran a QR code marketing campaign before, but I truly believe in the value and potential benefits of QR codes to businesses and their revenues, especially since mobile use is growing so quickly and will soon overtake other devices as the number one, turning the page over, page turning over noise. I need to tear this off so I can read the corner bit. I do apologise.
Dramatic.
Means of connecting to the internet. But again, most companies have never tried using QR codes before. So here is my dilemma, brackets, and I apologise if I took too long to get to the point, brackets.
But that's the context.
Yeah. Here comes the juicy bit.
Aha.
Should I offer the QR code marketing subscription in the same general price range as the other companies, or should I try something different? I am considering allowing every company that signs up to receive a free account with full access to everything. But after, say, 75 or 100 successful scans of their QR codes, we would then begin charging them for the monthly subscription. I know many companies can benefit from using this marketing tool, but I don't want them to pay for something until they see it actually working for them. But after 75 or 100 scans, they would know that this is working and people are using it, and they will be more comfortable and inclined, in my opinion, to pay for the service. I want businesses to develop a certain level of trust with us and know that our main concern is their success. And with this, it's not just about collecting their money. Now, that's the end of the highlighted bit, yeah. So shall I stop there? Yeah. All the best, Dan Deering.
Yes. I think what Dan's trying to talk about there is kind of all to do with business models, and particularly for kind of a QR marketing business. Now, QR code being the barcodes that you can scan on your phone. Now, I think he's asking interesting questions there, because I think in many ways, one of the ways to establish a business and do well is to consider operating on a different business model, so charging in a different way. So he talks about that the main options seem to be a kind of a free limited version, a medium version, and a premium version, all of which offer kind of a similar model, but each time you move up a level, you get an extra level of service. And, you know, that's a fairly sort of standard approach, which can work very, very well. But what he's talking about is starting everybody off on free, and it's kind of a performance-related billing. And, you know, that seems kind of quite a strong proposition, because then your proposition going to people is that it's low to zero risk doing this campaign here. You know, you're not paying anything until you get those leads. Which I think, you know, is definitely worth considering, because, you know, that is an easier sell. But what I would say is that it depends on what you're trying to do with your business, because as soon as you add a different business model, you've then got to not just convince someone to work with you, you've got to convince them that your business model is the better way of working. And you'd be surprised, in my experience, how often companies with innovative, interesting, good business models that are good for their customers and good for their business can quite often struggle, because people can't get their head around it. They expect it to work in a certain way. And if 95%, 99% of the businesses that your competitors are charging in one way and you're charging in a different way, that's either a really strong benefit to you because you can stand out, or it can be a downside because no one's like, well, why is everyone else doing it this way and you're doing it the other way? And they're not inclined to think of you in that way. What I will say is I think in terms of generating and tracking QR codes, I'd worry that is there a business model in that full stop? Because there's a lot of QR code tracking solutions which are free, essentially. So if you use the Google URL shortener, so that's GOO.GL, that generates a QR code for you. And then you get all the tracking on that like you would do if it was a Bitly URL. So it tells you how many clicks you got and when those clicks came and all these types of things. So I question whether I don't know. I don't know the QR code marketplace. I don't know the US world of QR marketing. But if your main means of generating revenue is by creating these codes and then charging people for the tracking on it, you've got to be doing something very, very different and very, very a lot more in depth to kind of beat some of these free solutions. Where I see the business opportunity is actually you kind of treat that as a bit of a loss leader, a bit of a chance to get people in, and it's in the consultancy on how to use QR codes that where the money probably would be for me rather than in the software.
Yeah, the hook and bait approach.
Yeah, so that would maybe be my instinct there, is that actually telling people how to use QR codes might be might be the way to go. It's tricky when, if what you're selling doesn't have a variable cost, so it's not going to cost them a lot more to sell one QR code versus two QR codes versus three QR codes. It's tricky to know how to price things, and it's a complicated world, the world of business models, and not one as not, you know, working for a marketing agency rather than being an entrepreneur. I'm not sure I'm the best person to say, but I think that the a unique business model can be a good selling point. It can be a challenge. But my instinct would be that perhaps in QR codes, that the consultancy and support associated with that might be a slightly better business opportunity.
The reason I'm hesitating here, there was a slight gap there, is because I just quickly went onto Amazon because I'm currently reading a book.
Yes.
And I thought it was called that actually, he gets the piece of paper to remind himself of the name, that David, you might possibly find quite interesting. I thought it was called Designing Business Models, but
I know the one you mean. You,
it's yes. like a sort of a landscape format yes. book, lots of yes. pictures in it. I don't think it is though, because I've just searched for it on
Amazon. Business Model Generation. Is it
Business Model Generation? Yeah. That's what it is. It's called Business Model Generation. It's if you're visual, you'll love it because it's loads of pictures in it. And I'm only halfway through the book, but it's already completely changed the way I'm looking at my own business.
Yeah.
And you might find it quite useful just to coming up with some alternative ideas. Mm. If you don't want to go,
yeah, no, I've read it as well, and I definitely, yeah, for anyone who's interested in starting up a business and are like, well, here's something I want to do. I know I can make money from it, but I'm not quite sure how. Definitely a good book to look at. Yeah, Business Model Generation, is that right?
I'm just looking at it. Yes, it's Business Model Generation by. Oh, I've got to try and pronounce this guy's name now, Alexander Osterwalder and Yves Pingnu.
We'll put a link in
the show notes.
Because good luck Googling that from our pronunciation there.
Yeah, I think if you just go into Amazon and look for Business Model Generation, you'll find it. Well, I think that wraps it for today's questions and answers. Next week, I think we've got yet more questions and answers, haven't we?
Yeah, keep them coming. Keep them coming. They're good.
And so it's goodbye from me, as we nearly stall there. Goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
And we'll see you next week on Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility. Goodbye. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.